I'm really sorry that I wasn't a real father to you. I didn't give you what you needed. Son, I wasn't there for you. I'm sorry. Wife, I could have been a better husband. I wonder how many times that happens. People get down to the end of their life, and the last things that they say to their family before they go into eternity is, I'm sorry. I wasn't what I should have been. And this is called damage control. This is what they're trying to do, is trying to do damage control. You know, and it's good that people get their lives together in the end, but wouldn't it be a whole lot greater if we would live our lives knowing that one day we're all going to die? Now this, we call it 30 days to live, but this is not a series about death and dying. This is a series about living life to the fullest. We put the tombstone up a few weeks ago, and we talked about you can't choose what family you were born into. You don't get to choose your circumstances that you're born into. You don't get to choose the day of your birth. You can affect your death, but ultimately you're going to die, and you don't have a lot of control over that either. But there's one thing that you do have control over, and that's the dash in between the date of your birth and the date of your death. And we talked about living the dash. Living the dash. And learning to live life to the fullest. See, we need to be those that don't come down to the end of our lives and have to do damage control. You know, some people don't have the opportunity to even talk to their family when it comes to the time of their death, because they just don't have that option. And there are so many things that are left undone, so many things that are left unsaid, and they leave their families with a lot of question marks. They leave their families with a lot of hurt. We should not leave this life leaving hurts in other people's lives. We should be able to live our life to the fullest. We should be able to find our purpose and what it is that we're supposed to be about. Is anybody hot in here? Is it hot? Where is our... We need to... When Kevin gets back, have him to turn some air on, please. Because I'm hot up here. I know it's a little hotter up high than it is down low. So, anyway, first week we talked about living life with passion and on purpose. Living life with passion and on purpose. Life should be lived passionately. We should do what we do with all of our heart. And it needs to be the good stuff that we do, amen? Not the bad stuff. And then last week we talked about loving completely. If we're going to finish well in life, we really need to be people who learn how to love completely. See, people are messy. They're really messy. I was talking to someone the other day, and I was telling them some things about our church and about some of the ministries that we do. And I said, you know, sometimes we have people show up at our church and they're high. He said, oh, we shouldn't allow that. And I'm thinking, dude, don't you understand that the church is a hospital for hurting people? And then when you deal with people, you're going to be dealing with lives that are messy. Did you not know that to some extent your life is messy? Has your marriage been a dream? Look at your spouse. No, don't do that. Please don't do that. No. Yeah. Life is, you know, marriage is not a dream. Marriages can be messy. Raising children can be messy. And unless we choose to love completely, we're not going to live our lives like we should. Because we will get to where we judge other people, we look down on other people, that we do so many things in this life that are not good at all where other people are concerned. And life is about relationships. We're not called to live hermit lives. We're called to live in relationship with other people. So if we're going to finish well, if we're going to live our lives on purpose and with passion, guess what? We're going to have to love completely. This week we're going to talk about living a life of learning. Everybody say learning. This is something that is really lacking in the Christian community, is learning. Here's what happens in a lot of case scenarios as we become Christians. God begins to deal with us in our lives, and we're convicted of our sins, and we realize that we need a Savior. And we invite Jesus into our hearts, and He changes and transforms our life. And we're real passionate for a while about our growth, and we're wanting to learn, and then we kind of settle into church life, and it's just easy to settle in, and first thing you know, we're dependent on somebody to tell us everything that we believe. It's quiet when you talk like this in church. And we go to church so the preacher can tell us what we believe. And really, we take on the opinions of the people who teach us. Now, we do have a responsibility as teachers and leaders to make sure that we rightly divide the Word of God and to preach the Word of God and to present truth. But you know, if all you do is just listen when you go to church, you come to a point in your life that you grow to that point and you grow no further. You quit learning. When you quit learning, you quit growing. I heard something said the other day that just stuck with me, and I remind myself of this all the time. It says, leaders are readers. Leaders are readers. And when you cease to read, you cease to lead because you cease to grow. Now, I'm not a natural reader. I didn't grow up liking reading. Do we have any people that love to read? I don't love to read. I have to make myself read. I can make every excuse for why I shouldn't read because I don't like it. So I have to, if I'm going to grow as a person, guess what? I've got to do research. I've got to read. I've got to have a barrage of stuff coming into my mind. You know, God equipped me with a mind. We heard Dr. Leaf last year tell us that our mind is capable of lasting us about 3 million years if we could live that long. You got enough memory capacity in your mind to last you that long. Don't ever say, I don't have a mind. Don't ever say, I don't know what happened to my mind. You have plenty of not RAM. Hard drive. You got a lot of hard drive in there. There's not a computer in this earth that's as big as your hard drive. You have the ability to store information and remember information. Your brain is designed to do that. We need to live a life of learning. Now, if we're going to grow in the right way, I mean, you can put nonsense in there. I mean, you can read, I said nonsense. If you just read romance novels all the time, you're going to get real proficient with romance. Now, I don't know if it's going to help you with romance, but you're going to be proficient with romance novels. In fact, you'll probably build up some kind of thing in your mind of what romance ought to be, and it's not that way. How many of you know love is not like it's in the books? Okay? It's called fantasy. Fantasy. Okay? But you gotta learn the right stuff. And you need to start out with this. And we're gonna talk about five things today. Number one, discover who you are. If we're gonna grow the way that we need to, if we're gonna be learners, first of all, we've got to discover who we are. Who are you? The world does not tell us that. Psalms 8 says this. He says, when I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? For you've made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. When we begin to discover who we are, what opinion that God has of us. Do you realize how big God is? I don't think you do. I don't think I do. How big is his creation? It's huge. It's even expanding. He's bigger than his creation because he is omnipresent. He inhabits all of his creation at the same time. That's huge. And he's not growing. God's not growing. And his creation will never outgrow him. He's huge. Guess what? You're little. I don't care how big you are. You know, I'm average. I'm average height, not weight. Shaq is above average. Some folks are below average. But it doesn't matter how big or small we are. Guess what? Compared to God, we're little. We're all little. We're all midgets. We're all little. God's big, but we're small. But why is it, why do we mean so much to God? Have you ever thought about that? Why do I mean so much to God? Now, some people don't think they mean much to God, but if you only had any kind of insight to what He thinks about you, it would astound you. He loves you. He loves you just like you are. He loves you too much to leave you like you are, but He loves you just like you are. And why does He have such a grand purpose for our lives? You know, every one of us are unique. There's not two people alike. Even twins are not alike. They're unique. They have different personalities. They have different traits about them. There's no two people alike in this world. Every one of us are designed by God, and God has got a plan for every person that's ever drawn breath. It's amazing. Why does He have such an epic plan for our lives? And you know what? He had a specific reason for creating you exactly the way that He did. You're not an accident. Mama might have told you that you was an accident, but you were no accident. God is able to outmaneuver our accidents. Aren't you glad? If God couldn't outmaneuver our accidents, we'd be in a mess. God anticipates the choices that we make. And He moves around and makes provision for us. And that's great. You're not an accident. You are designed exactly like you are for a reason. And we need to discover that reason. Because we all have a role to play. We all have something to do in this life. Can I say this? I say this all the time, but I want to say it again. God is more than just going to church. God is more than just going to church. This is only a part about what God is about. There's more about God out there than there is in here. Okay? There's more about your life as a Christian out there than there is in here. We come here because we need to worship Him. We come here so that we can come together corporately for fellowship and to grow together and to love together and learn how to get along and be the body of Christ so that we can go out there and be the church. Your everyday life is about God's plan. He has a exact reason for creating you the way He did. And you know what? He knows you intimately. He knows your thoughts from afar off. He knows what you're going to think before you ever think it. He knows how you're going to be tempted before you're ever tempted. He knows everything about you. He knows what makes you tick. Especially the opposite gender. I have a hard time understanding the opposite gender. Uh, But God understands what makes you tick. I don't understand all people, but God knows everything exactly about you. He knows you intimately. He never loses you. You ever lost your kid in a crowd? We went to a Cardinal baseball game years ago. Joe was just a little bitty fella, 5 or 6. And there's about 50,000 people up there, and we look up, and Joe is gone. And we get the binoculars out, and we spot him all the way across the stadium. He just was roaming around looking. Joe was always one about roaming around. In fact, he's not in here right now. He's probably out there roaming around looking somewhere. You know. But you know, God always knows where you're at. He never loses you in the crowd. You're never going to be lost from God. Wow. He never forgets, and He never lets go. Isn't that wonderful? We can try to let go of Him, but He won't let go of us. He loves us. He loves us. So if we're really going to discover who we really are, our answer is in Him. And guess what? You are going to have to become, if you're going to fully discover who you are, then you're going to have to become a lifetime learner. We got some leaders sitting out here. But one of the reasons that you can't step up is because you quit learning. See, you're just satisfied where you're at. Oh, my life's pretty good. I got a good marriage. I got a good family. Everything's cool. God's blessed me. But He didn't bless you just to bless you. He blessed you so He can expand you and use you. That's why He gave you that big brain that you got, so that you can learn. And you can incorporate what you learn into your life. And God can take that and draw on that and use you for His plan that He has for your life. And He's got a good one. I said He's got a good one. He's got a real good one. So we got to become lifelong learners. And you know what? We don't like this part. We must be willing to change and mature in every season of life. One thing that happens in a lot of churches is they come to the place that they're not willing to change. And that's why they are like they are. That's why they are where they are. And they will be that way until they die. And they will die. That's sad. Because people get old and die. But even in life, we can do the same thing that churches do. We can get comfortable in our environment and not be willing to make changes, not be willing to be open to change, not be willing to learn. And in every season of life that we're in brings about changes that we all need. Everybody say, change. Look at your spouse. Look at the person next to you and say, change. Ooh. Change. Luke 4:18, girls, change. That's what Luke 4:18 is about. It's not about a safe bubble. It's about a safe bubble that you can change in. That's what ministry is about. That's what it's all about. Okay. How do we discover who we are? You have to look to your source to understand who you are and what you were created to do. Now, when God created things, if you go back in Genesis and look, you know, the first thing God says, let there be light, and there was light. And He goes through this deal. But you know what? When He created plants, let's talk about plants for a moment. When God created plants, He spoke to its source and told it to bring it forth. He said to the ground, bring forth plants. When He created animals, He spoke to its source and told it to bring it forth. Plants are the ground, bring forth. And anything that is, now everything's created by God because everything goes back to God. But God tied certain things to a source, and it looks to that source for its life. What happens when you separate a plant from the ground? It dies, doesn't it? Now, a plant is created for a particular purpose. And so you have to look at the source of something to begin to understand what it's all about. Plants, they have multifunctions. They have to do with the oxygen levels in the air. They're provided for food. But as long as they're connected to their source, they have light. You disconnect them from their source, and they cease to have life. So when we begin to understand about man, when God created man, He spoke to Himself. The only time that He ever spoke to Himself in Genesis, He said, "Let us make man in our image." He connected man directly to Himself. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are created in the image and the likeness of God. You were created by God, and He is your source. Well, guess what? What happens when you disconnect man from God? That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. What happens when you disconnect man from God? He dies. So when we begin to get reconnected with Him as our source, we begin to look to Him, and we can begin to discover. Let me put this in your pipe, okay? I'm going to give you something to smoke in your pipe. I always get giggles from this side when I talk about smoking your pipe. I want to give you some fuel for your thought processes. Something for you to think about. Something for you to meditate on that's really dynamic. If you're going to discover who you are as a human being, we don't look at ourselves. We have to look at our source. We have to see what He does, because we are connected to Him. We are like Him. Animals are not like Him. Plants are not like Him. There's an essence of God in everything, but the very thing that He tied to Himself directly was man. Now, our body's tied to the dirt, but I'm not talking about the body. I'm talking about the real you, the spirit, the soul. You're tied to God. And to discover what you're to be like, to discover what your mission is, to discover all of that, then we need to consider who our source is. We need to consider God. Take that and meditate on it. Let God speak to you through His Word so that you can begin to see who you are and what you're supposed to be like. Wow. It says in Romans 1:20, it says, "But the basic reality of God is plain enough. Open your eyes and there it is. By taking a long and thoughtful look at what God has created, people have always been able to see what with their eyes, as such can be seen, eternal power. For instance, the mystery of His divine being, so nobody has a good excuse." We can look at creation and learn things about God. Why? Because He is the author of that. If you look at God and then you look at you, you can learn what you're supposed to be like. Animals are not like God. They don't have abilities like God. God has given us, through our free will and through the power of His Holy Spirit, He has given us the ability to do some things like He does them. Now, you can take that to extremes, or you can take that in the context of what the Scripture is trying to show us. What does Christian mean? Christ-like. Does that mean to be like Christ? Did Jesus not say, "Hey, the works that I do shall you do, and greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to my Father. And when I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and He's going to live in you." And guess what? You are to be my representative. In fact, we are called, another name for the church, and probably a more accurate name, is what? The body of Christ. He is the what? the head, we are the what? Body. What is the body supposed to look like? The head. What is the body supposed to act like? The head. What is the body supposed to do? Whatever the head tells it to do. We're going to find, can I say this? We're going to find our nature, we're going to find our purpose, we're going to find our being in discovering what our God is like. It's in there. So, discovering you comes through discovering God. The most important relationship that you'll ever have, we're going to talk about relationships in a series down the road, but the tightest circle that you'll ever have in your life is you and God, more than anything else. If you don't get this one right, guess what? None of the rest of it is ever going to work. Okay, here we go. If the enemy can steal your identity, then he can keep you from fulfilling your purpose. What does the enemy do? What is one of the first things that he attacked Eve about? He tried to disconnect her from the Word. Did God say? See, that's how we know God. We know God through His Word, okay? Did God say? And in doing so, she lost her identity. Adam lost his identity. He lost his sense of purpose. He lost his sense of life. He lost everything about that. He was separated from God. He was separated from His source, and he died. God didn't leave us there, though, did He? See, it says the thief does not come except to what? To steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and life more abundantly. Is God about life or death? He's about life. Is the body of Christ, should it be about life or death? It should be about life. So, you know, the enemy uses so many different things in our lives to rob us of our identity. He'll use guilt. He'll use condemnation. He'll use our past, our bad past. He'll use the circumstances of our life to rob us of our identity. See, God wants you to understand who you are in Him. And as we understand who we are in Him, the enemy always has a counterattack. He says, you know, you remember what you did? Do you remember what you said? You call yourself a Christian? He uses so many things. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to be an identity thief. He's trying to rob us of who we are. How many of you have seen The Lion King? Okay, there's the story of the Lion King, Simba, the young lion who was the son of the king. In this story, was it Mufasa. I've seen it, but it's been a long time ago. Mufasa. Simba is falsely accused of the death of his father. So, what does he do? He runs away in fear and guilt. He gives up his dream about becoming a king. Until one day, his father appears to him and he says something to him. He says, Simba, you've forgotten me. You've forgotten me. Simba replied, how could I ever have forgotten you? And his father replies back to him, you have forgotten who you are, therefore you have forgotten me. Remember who you are. You are my child, the one true king. And you know what? When we forget who we are, we've forgotten God. When we remember who we are, it brings God into our lives. It brings Him into our memory. See, it says in It says this in Ephesians 2:10. He says, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Wow. So we need to discover who we are. Who are you? The second thing is we need to find our direction. We need to find our direction in life. And I want to talk about three things. Does anybody have a GPS system? Does anybody have those in your car? Or you know, when we go to our hunting lease, we take a GPS with us so we can mark points. So I want to use GPS as a way that we can find out where we are in life. Number one, how do we discover who we really are in life? If God has this master plan and He has all of this stuff going on, then how can I find who I am? Number one is the G, is your gifts. We have been gifted by God to do certain things in our life. You need to do a self-inventory. What are my gifts? What is it that God has placed in my life? That is an indication of how we can find our way. One of my gifts is pastor, teacher. You know, we have spiritual gifts in our life. The second one is the P. And the P has to do with passion. What is it about my life that just drives my life? What is it that I'm passionate about where the kingdom is concerned? What is it that I have in my heart that I want to do? What is it that I think about and dream about that I just can't get away from? You know, God wouldn't give you an assignment and not give you a passion for it. Listen, the Bible says that if we'll delight ourselves in the Lord, that He'll give us the desire of our heart. I don't think that just means that whatever you want's what He'll give you. No, I think as we delight ourselves in God, that He places desire in us, and then He seeks to fulfill that desire. Wow. Then the next thing, the S, is strength. 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 We have gifts, we have passion, and we have strengths. There are things that we're all strong about, that we have areas that we're strong in. Our personalities are strong in a particular area. We have areas that we're weak in. And, you know, we need to concentrate more on our strengths than we do our weaknesses. We need to get stronger in our strengths, okay? So strength is a hint sometimes of what God is trying to do in our life. What is it that you're strong in? Are you strong in personal relationships? Are you strong, are you analytical in your mind? Are you a 1-2-3 person? Are you task-oriented? Or what is it that your strengths? You know, I found out that organizing my desk is not one of my strengths. So I have to have people around me that help me with my weaknesses so that I can concentrate on my strengths. One of my strengths is people. I get along well with people most of the time. Okay. Okay, the third one is be ready for change. Change. There's that C word again. Be ready for change. We all have to be willing to make changes in our life. See, there's one thing about God. He's perfect and has no need of change. He says, I never change. And if we're going to connect with Him, here we are imperfect and we have what? We have a need to change. So if we're going to become more like Him, guess what? Who's going to do the changing? Have you ever tried to talk God into doing something? That don't work. Have you ever tried to bargain with God? He doesn't change. No, He's always the same. He's saying, Mark, you change. I'm not changing. Kind of like our spouses do it sometimes. No. But God's perfect. You know, if our spouses were perfect, then we'd have to do all the changing, wouldn't we? But He's perfect. We're not. We have to change. So we have to be willing to make some changes in our lives. There's a story in that happened in September the 8th, 1900. There was a great hurricane that hit Galveston, Texas. And this was one of the worst hurricanes in history. In fact, in that hurricane, over 6,000 people lost their lives. And there were like 3,500 homes that were destroyed. So Galveston got together and they decided that they were not going to let that happen again. So they did some changing in their town. They built levees. They built certain levees. And what they did is they raised the level of that whole city by several feet. A few years later, an equally strong hurricane hit Galveston. And guess what? There was only minimal damage. You know why? Because they were willing to change. And sometimes we have things in life that happen to us, And if we don't change, guess what? That keeps happening, and it's devastating every time it happens. If we're going to go forward in life, in the seasons of life, guess what? We have to be committed to making personal changes in our life. If we're going to live life right, even as we get older, guess what? You know, whoever come up with this, say, old and set in my ways? That's one reason people don't finish well, because they get old and set in their ways. We need to be changing all the time, because everything around us changes, and a lot of people around us change. Have you ever seen a mother that would not let go of her son? He gets married, and she won't let go of him. You know what? When your child leaves home, you got to change. You're not, your role in that child's life changes. And if you don't let it change, you're going to have destruction, because you're going to try to take the place in his life that the wife is supposed to occupy. Well, it gets quiet when you talk like this. So we have to be willing to change, don't we? Okay. So what do we have to do? We have to discover who we are. We have to find our direction. And then we have to be ready for change. Here's the fourth one. Change comes from the inside out. Too many times we try to do change from the outside in, but it's from the inside out. How does one become a butterfly? You must want to fly so much that you're willing to give up being a caterpillar. That's how you become a butterfly. You got to want to fly so much that you're willing to give up being a caterpillar. The word is metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. That's what happens to a caterpillar when he becomes a butterfly. He gets in a cocoon. He goes into a quiet season. He's not active. And when he comes out of that cocoon, a metamorphosis takes place while he is resting. And he comes out of that cocoon and he has been transformed into a butterfly. See, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says that we're not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed. And it's that word metamorpho. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we got to have those quiet times where we're in the Word of God, where God can work the changes in our hearts from the inside out. Religion likes to do it from the outside in. You need to quit dipping, quit chewing, you know, quit chasing, and don't hang around with those who do. I had a friend one time. He had a mustache. And we went to this holiness church. And the guy told him, he says, "You know what you need to do?" He said, "You need to shave off that mustache and get right with God." He was right with God. Isn't it amazing how we want to change people from the outside in? See, this is what I love about this church, is that we allow people who are messy to come here. And what that person said to me the other day is basically what he said to me, and that's what I heard. We don't want messy people in our church. That's the only kind we got. And they don't realize that they're messy too, but they're just messy in a different way. The very fact that there's human beings that you would not show the love of Christ to tells me that you're maybe messier than you think you are. Messy people. Messy people. We have to be willing to change from the inside out. This is a healing hospital. Amen? Okay, last but not least is live with integrity. Live with integrity. The word integrity comes from a Greek word from which we get the word integer. An integer is a whole number as opposed to a fraction or a fragmented piece. And the ideal with integrity is the whole, not the fragment. And it's a lot of times as human beings and even as Christians, we have the practice sometimes of fragmenting our lives. And this is my box over here, and this is my spiritual life. And this box over here is my work life. and this box over here is my private life, and this, you know, this box over here is it, and what we have is a bunch of fragmented lives. And what God is wanting for us to be is whole. And when we talk about integrity, when we're talking about a fragmented life, I may have a set of principles that govern this life, another set of principles that govern this life, and in my business, I got this set of principles. After all, this is business, you know. This has nothing to do with this over here. This is business. Or this is how I do this, and my private life is my business, and this is nobody's business but mine. And me and God work this out, but it's different than what I would act at church, but this is my private life. That's not integrity, is it? Integrity is the whole. It's where it's the same no matter where you are. You see, let me tell you a true story. This actually happened. There's a fellow and his girlfriend that were going on a picnic. So they stopped by a local fast food restaurant and they got a bucket of chicken. Well, when they got to their picnic and opened the bucket of chicken, they had a big surprise. What they didn't realize was that the manager of the restaurant had put the daily cash into this bucket, and there was $800 in that bucket. What a blessing from God. So immediately, and the manager discovers that he's made a big mistake and he's sweating it. $800. But this guy and his girlfriend, they take this bucket back to the place and they say, "Listen, there's been a mistake made. We found $800 in here." The manager was ecstatic. "Oh my gosh, you're such a good man. I want to call the newspaper and let them come out and do a story on this." He pulls him to the side. He said, "Come here. We can't do that. This girl with me, somebody else's wife." Integrity? No. "Well, yeah, over here he's got integrity." No. Integrity is the whole. See, who are you when no one's looking? This is where we need to shuck it down. Who are you when nobody's looking? See, are we talking about image or are we talking about integrity? And we've seen a whole lot of stuff going on in the media about here that we have to put forth this image. Listen, you never have to worry about your image if you have integrity. You don't have to worry about your image, because integrity becomes your image, because it's who you are. And that's what we need. We really need to live lives of integrity. So what have we learned today? Number one, discover who you are. Number two, find your direction. Number three, be ready for change. Number four, change from the inside out. And number five, live with integrity. Amen.